Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine, the show that teaches you how to avoid the things that can kill you.
Like being chased by a lion,
oof,
being stuck in an elevator. How about being trapped in a cave?
And the things that only make you wish you were dead.
Like being stood up on a date,
oh,
getting spaghetti sauce on your new white shirt.
Ugh.
How about being punched in a phone booth?
Whoa, that's so specific. I think we better start the theme music.
I love the theme music.
Me too.
Ground is shaking under our feet. Mountains on fire, flooding in the street. Can't breathe the air, can't fight the feeling. Gobbling down Xanax, ain't the way to be dealing. Gotta do better than just getting high. We gotta stick together if we're gonna survive.
Welcome to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. I am Danielle.
I'm Christine.
And Christine, you're bragging that you have a lot to talk about today.
I do. I have a big announcement.
Oh.
For the first time ever.
Yes.
I have a book coming out. Available for pre-order today.
What?
I am one of the authors of a book.
Oh my God, Christine.
I know. It's exciting.
Oh, this is the compilation book?
Yes.
I think I saw it on Facebook. Okay.
Called Periods, Period.
Period, period. Okay, and give us the rundown.
I'm going to tell you. So, yeah. I wrote some jokes with friend of the show, Jesse Gaskell.
Yes.
And they are in this book called Periods, Period. The writers listed, written by Alicia Gaddis and Steph Garcia.
Okay.
Alicia, I think we're going to have her on the show. I'm just
great.
Booking a date for her. It's essays, poems, a lot of funny, heartfelt, silly stuff. Art, like I said, Jesse and I wrote jokes about periods.
Together. Cool.
We had written these jokes years ago to try to gross out a boss. It was Greg Heller. And we were, you know Greg?
Yeah.
And we were writing a show with Greg. I think it was like 50 TV moments or something. It was like one of those shows where it was like craziest TV meltdowns or something.
Okay.
And for some reason, someday he was like, periods aren't gross to me. And we were like, oh really? And so we
gauntlet thrown down.
Yeah, it was like a challenge. And we were just like dying laughing about these disgusting jokes we wrote. They were so gross.
And that's what's in the book?
And then, well, we did some revising.
Okay.
Because it was like a decade had passed and I'd heard about this project. And I was like, I reached out to Alicia and I was like, would you accept jokes?
Uh-huh.
Because I knew she was interested in like essays. And I was like, well, I don't have a period essay in me. but I have jokes.
Sure.
So Jesse and I got together. We went to a coffee place and got some croissants, and we just belted out a bunch of jokes.
Love it.
Sent them in, and they're in this book, and you can pre-order it now.
Periods, period?
Yeah.
And where? How do you get it?
I mean, I think you go to Amazon, probably anywhere else you buy your books.
Okay.
And go to Periods, period. It's available for pre-sale now while you're listening to my voice.
Very exciting.
We'll put it in the show notes and wherever else you can find me.
Okay, cool. So that was exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, that wasn't what I thought would be my first book, but
right.
Here we are.
There you go.
You know, more to come.
I'm excited.
Next diarrhea.
Menopause.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I was just going sequentially.
No, it's all happening.
Just all things to gross out.
Everything is happening. So let's just write jokes about it.
Okay. So that's good. That's great. That's very exciting. Yay.
Here we are.
And then something happened with Benjamin, you
okay,
said?
So...
Because on a day ending with Y?
Well, yes. This isn't a him getting hurt story,
good.
Surprisingly.
Good.
So I went and saw Father John Misty.
Oh, yeah. This is the guy, is a rockabilly? Is he rockabilly?
He's
what
not.
Is he?
He's, okay. You know, he's kind of everything. Like, he does some, he has, I would say, if you like the Beatles, if you like Elton John, if you like folk, if you like
okay.
a little bit of maybe John Denver-esque.
Okay.
He does everything well.
All right.
He's I don't like saying indie because it feels a very catch-all term.
Yeah.
He's a very talented musician. He used to be in a band called My Morning Jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he played with them. I don't know if he was ever in it. He's very talented. I got tickets. He was playing at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which is a wonderful place to see live music.
I got there to see my brother.
Well,
it's not as entertaining, but it's emotional.
I bet. And I think he would have really enjoyed the show.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we dropped the kids off for their sleepover.
Okay.
Ahead of time.
Yes.
And I pulled Benji aside and I said, listen, Alex really doesn't want to be at this sleepover. She really wanted to go to one of her friend's houses
because
it was close. You know, Benji's friend, Gael, it's a boy. And she's
okay.
like, I want to go to one of my friends. I said, so could you just try to make her feel included and,
right.
you know, be nice? They just had a fight in the car where, you know, she sat on him and he bit her. You know,
puppies?
Like normal 10-year-olds. And
oh my God.
So they weren't real happy with each
she
other.
She sat on him.
Yeah.
While the car was going?
No, so they were getting in the car.
Okay. And he bit her?
Yeah, because she...
Where?
Like on her shoulder.
Okay.
Did
he, as my mom would say, did he break skin?
No.
Okay.
But she did scream very loudly. It was a whole thing. So... I was like, could you... Just try to make her feel included,
right.
and I know, you know, you guys just had this big blowout, but please.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, Mom, I'm just wondering, in what world do you think your shirt is appropriate to wear outside?
No way.
So he bit you too.
Wait a
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
What, first of all, I have to know, I mean, not to blame the victim, but what were you wearing?
So... I was wearing something.
Wet t-shirt?
I just had Band-Aids on my nipples. I was wearing a silk tank blouse that was incredibly low cut.
Okay.
And no bra.
Right, because you're with,
you can't.
You're going to what's-her-face
and I'm going,
look again.
I'm doing my Jenna Lyons.
Jenna Lyons.
And you couldn't wear a bra with this. It was like very low cut.
Okay.
And it was the kind that like, you know... He's not used to seeing his mom dressed that way.
Right.
And I very rarely go out to a concert.
Right.
But he kept hugging me in front of the friends. And I could tell it was because he was like worried I was going to show them too much of my chest.
But wait, was it... Okay, I know it's low cut, but was it showing a lot of cleavage or was it just showing...
I mean, I don't have
that's
cleavage,
what I mean,
really.
That,
I mean,
right.
I'm very small chested. So it was like... The good news is I can wear stuff like that because
right.
nothing's, it's not like I'm going to have side boob really.
Right, 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 right.
You could maybe see like less than if I was wearing a bikini top.
Right.
But like if I would have bent over, you would have seen my entire breast.
Oh, okay. So he was.
He was like, I have to cover my
but
mom.
He really said in what world?
I think, I'm pretty
like
sure.
Like he used that.
I think he said, in what world do you think this
and
is
what,
appropriate?
What did you say?
I said, Benj, it's fine. I'm going to a concert.
Oh my God, that is so hysterical.
So I was like slut shamed by my 10-year-old.
Start early. Get them started early.
I know, right?
That's so funny. That's really funny. My God. My son has never once commented on anything I've ever worn. I don't think he, like, wants to see me as a person who would even have sexuality. So, like, he wouldn't even... The only thing is, when he was really little, he didn't like me wearing earrings. And then we figured out it's because he realizes I'm probably going out.
Uh-huh. That was the clue.
Yeah.
You should borrow this blouse.
Just to upset my son.
Just see if he has a reaction.
So fucking weird. I'm just trying to see if I can get a reaction out of my son. My eyes are up here, Oliver. All right. You know what I'm doing right now? Changing glasses.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. She's taking out the readers.
And you know what that means?
We're going to start the topic.
The topic today is how to survive being trapped in a cave.
Oh, gosh. Caves are scary.
Okay. So first, I want to just give you a little background. Fewer people get hurt in caving than in traffic.
Okay? Everything. I think everything in life.
That's true. I guess that's not much of a... But the number one threat to cavers is unpreparedness.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared.
The estimated number of people who visit caves annually is about 2 million in the U.S. alone. One in 666,666 of all people visiting caves actually die. Well, that's not too much.
They have the sign of the devil on their head.
Twice. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're, you know.
They deserved
so
it.
So, really, yeah, exactly.
Good they were riddance. Chosen.
And one in 125,000 get seriously injured.
Oh, no.
What makes caving dangerous? The leading causes of death among cavers are falls and drowning, both accounting for nearly half of all caving deaths. In the U.S., falls are the number one cause of the death.
The death.
The main problem with caving accidents is that when something does happen, the person is difficult to reach, which we'll find out later in our story.
Oh, okay.
So a small error of judgment can become a huge problem later on. For example, you overestimate your capabilities or underestimate the conditions. Most caving accidents are due to bad preparation, lack of skill, or the wrong equipment. Okay, but what if I get lost?
What if Danielle gets lost?
Yes. What if I'm in my 20s and I'm already lost and then I wander into a cave?
You're like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Why am I just working in this weird like accounting firm? I don't even have accounting experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now I'm in a cave.
Right. Dating men who won't admit they're dating me. Things like that.
Yeah.
What, Garen? What did you say?
I said it's the worst Kathy comic ever.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I just looked up Kathy for submission I was doing for a game show because I was making it a question. The comic strip Kathy we're talking about.
Yes, of course.
And it was like this whole rundown of how it was really sexist and then how it like over the year changed and stuff. But I don't know. I don't know how it lasted that long. It's so aggravating. Anyway, ack. What if I get lost? Most new cavers are afraid to get lost, but it's very uncommon. And of the people that do get lost, most only wander around for or get pulled out by rescuers within a couple of hours. But can you imagine how scary those couple of hours would be?
Terror.
Goonies, man.
Oh, no.
There could be scary people after you.
Yes.
A monster guy watching.
Oh, that
TV.
Guy with the weird eyeball.
Yeah.
But
Sloth.
In the Sloth. End, buried treasure.
That's right. Do they get buried treasure? I don't remember.
Don't they find the big pirate ship at the end and it's full of treasure?
And do they keep it?
They keep enough of it that it... Oh, we're spoiling. We're into spoiler territory.
If you haven't watched Goonies yet...
Pause, watch Goonies, and come back.
They find enough to save their town or whatever.
And they get to... Yeah. Don't they don't have to move maybe or something?
Yeah, like
Sean Astin.
Or something, because the
isn't he the one?
Yeah. Finds. Yeah, Mikey.
Yeah.
Rarely ever do people die of getting lost in a cave. Over the last 90 years in the UK, just 12 people died from hypothermia or getting lost. Okay, risks of caving involved. These are the major problems you have to look out for.
Okay.
Falling rocks.
Yes, that makes sense.
Most caves are extremely stable. However, cavers have to pay close attention to any loose rocks. Rock fall is a common cause of death among cavers. Even a tiny rock can cause severe injury if it travels far enough before impact.
Oh.
You just go ding. You just go and you it would be a perfect way to kill someone, right?
Yes.
Just a tiny pebble that you just it accidentally got loose, but it's from 300 feet above, clonk right on the head. Bye-bye.
This is a good murder plan.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of in Death on the Nile. They had something like that.
Oh, I didn't see it. I probably won't see it.
Oh, it was like the temple or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
They were yeah. And
so
someone
it picks
pushed
up
a
speed and then it becomes more dangerous.
Right, because 10 meters per second per second? Isn't that the rule of falling objects?
Explain it.
You asshole. I think a falling object falls.
Just name that tune.
I believe a falling object falls 10 meters per second. And then it increases 10 meters every second. You can, well, actually me all you want on that one. Just don't tell me to explain the twin trip, which is the other thing I learned in physics. That was, I think I've already talked about that.
We
but anyway.
Did, and it was fascinating.
Okay. Okay. Wear your helmet at all times. Do not take it off. Especially if you're around someone who wants to kill you.
Exactly.
Especially when entering wild or unsurveyed or virgin caves.
Oh, who doesn't want to enter a virgin cave?
A virgin
you know
cave,
I mean?
I guess, hasn't been penetrated. But maybe in the back entrance. Because then you would still be a virgin
it doesn't
cave.
Go.
That doesn't count if you're Catholic. Isn't that true? Isn't that what like Catholic girls practice?
I think
something?
It's not. I don't think it's restricted to Catholics.
It's not.
I think
okay.
It's a thing that
a lot of.
Yeah.
It's a workaround. So
yes.
To speak.
It's like.
Yeah. Okay. As there are more likely to have some loose debris. Oh, wait. Especially when entering wild caves. Oh, that's not a sentence.
Wild caves will do everything.
Wild caves. Right. If you suspect some rocks are unstable, be sure not to dislodge them. Most lethal accidents involve rock fall where the caver was descending or ascending and the rocks were dislodged by their own gear.
So they're going in from the top.
Or they're just climbing or going down and they've accidentally knocked something over and a pebble or a rock
falls on someone
dislodged.
Else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cavers fall. Falling and slipping due to poor footing is a major cause of fatalities. Caves can be quite treacherous and slippery. Make sure you have enough points of contact. I think that means that like your feet and hands are touching something. Be sure not to dislodge. Oh, whoops, I screwed up. Also, be sure to wear the right kind of shoes. Generally, you can simply wear all rubber wellies. But all rubber, aren't rubber wellies like rain boots?
Yeah, I was thinking.
That seemed like a strange.
This must be UK advice.
It is.
They don't have proper shoes over there, apparently.
Okay, flooding. Don't go caving when it rains, especially with heavy rainfall. Drowning is among the leading causes of death. Most caves are formed by rainwater corroding limestone while it travels underground. I didn't know that. So flooding is one of the most common hazards, and it's a serious danger. Getting trapped in a cave by flooding can lead to death by drowning or even suffocation. To make sure the cave isn't prone to flooding, check for the following. Okay, flood debris around cave entrance indicates prior flooding. So if you're
flood debris.
Yeah, if you're seeing like leaves and sticks and rocks, like things collected.
Stay away.
Leaves and debris that are stuck to the ceiling. The cave has flooded in the recent past.
Oh.
If you find yourself in a flooded cave, go to the highest point possible and protect yourself against hypothermia. Bad air means the air in the cave is contaminated. This might mean low oxygen levels, increased carbon dioxide levels, ammonia, and so on. Bad air only occurs about 1% of caves, making it a less common hazard, but very serious nonetheless. Particularly caves in the UK seem to have some bad air.
Mm-hmm.
It's because their teeth.
Yep. They don't brush.
Those caves don't get their
they
teeth.
They don't floss.
Yeah. Though oxygen can be a danger in small pockets and holes. You use up any oxygen and breathe out CO2, which means that if there's bad airflow, you might potentially use up your oxygen stash. This is a very rare situation as most caves have good air circulation. Try not to stay in depressions. I know. They keep telling us that.
I know, but like how...
It's so hard.
It's hard to...
But what if you live in Los Angeles and like your dreams didn't come true?
Yeah, like what if what you thought was going to happen didn't happen, but it's really happening for other people
right
cave?
In front of you.
What?
I think I live in a cave.
I think you live in a cave.
I think Los Angeles is a cave.
It really is.
Try not to stay in depressions and small pockets too long, though just to be safe. Carbon dioxide tends to build up in some caves because it's heavier than oxygen. Old mines are notorious for bad air, so beware of what type of cave you're entering beforehand. Here's another thing you have to be worried about. Cave disease.
Oh, no.
Or histoplasmosis. Also called caver's disease or spelunker's lung.
Sorry, it's not funny.
They opened for Father
John Misty. Yeah.
This is a fungus infection caused by the histoplasma capsulatum.
Yep.
Capsulatum. The fungus is mostly found in soil with bat guano or bird droppings.
Yep.
You can pick up this fungus by disrupting the soil. It's most prevalent in warm, dry climates. Okay, safety tips. How to reduce caving risks. Join your local grotto. Okay, what does that mean? The only thing I can think of is the Playboy mansion.
Join your local grotto. Well, we haven't done that yet.
No, we got to.
Doesn't
then we'll find out what
it feels
is.
Like only Italy would have a join your local grotto.
But what is a grotto?
Isn't it like a depression in the side of a mountain where you can go eat dinner and drink wine?
That's so specific. There's a name for that?
I feel like I went to one
once. Depression in this. Was that from Star Wars or something? Like, what are you talking about?
Trust,
I mean, that sounds fantastic.
Trust me, I will never make a Star Wars reference unless it's an accident, because I can't.
Right, I know.
I don't know how to.
I think we'll ask Garen to look up what a grotto is. Anyway, whoever they are, they often provide free training and safety information. Don't exceed your limits. Wear a helmet at all times. Use the right gear. Make sure it's proper. Check for the danger of flooding. If it's raining, don't go. Never go in alone. Get a permit or permission. Speaking to the owner or manager will get you crucial information on the area and the cave. Let someone know you're in there and how late they can expect you to get home. Carry a cave map. Carry extra lights. Watch out for CO2 if you're dizzy, lightheaded. Get a headache, nausea, shortness of breath. Leave the cave immediately. Okay. Know your skills and limitations. Use ropes only if you're properly trained. This I found hilarious. Only dive in caves if you're properly trained. Cave diving is the most expert caving technique and should only be attempted by trained and licensed cave divers. Having a scuba license does not in the least qualify you for cave diving, since the techniques, conditions, and equipment greatly differ. I don't even know what cave diving is, I just realized. But I wouldn't think, if I had a scuba license,
you'd be ready to do it.
What if you just go in with the oxygen tank and the whole bit and the snorkel and all the other things? I don't know, but don't do it. So basically, be smart.
Yes.
Stay with people. Don't do it alone.
Don't think you're going to scuba dive into it.
Right. And
cave.
Don't go when it's raining, which brings us to our story.
Oh, yay.
Now, this is a very well-known story. And actually, there's a movie right now called 13 Lives.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it yet. I want to, but I haven't watched it. I also didn't want it to confuse me about, you know, what
the
is
story.
Real and what really happened.
This is the one with
Viggo Mortensen, apparently. I know Ron Howard directed it. That's literally all I know. Oh, does he play he must play the coach, Viggo Mortensen.
I think so. I don't think he could play one of the boys.
Nobody could play one of the rescuers.
That's true.
So this is, I'll just get into it. The Tham Luang Nong Non is a karstic cave complex beneath Duai Ninh Non, a mountain range on the border between Thailand and Myanmar. The system is 10 kilometers long and has many deep recesses, narrow passages, and tunnels winding around hundreds of meters of limestone. Since part of the cave system is seasonally flooded, a sign advising against entering the caves during the rainy season, July to November, is posted at the entrance. Okay, so here we go. Here's the story. On June 23rd, 2018, a group of 12 boys aged between 11 and 16 from a local junior football team named the Wild Boars, I'm assuming in this case football means soccer.
Probably.
And their 25-year-old assistant coach, Ekafon Chonthawong, went missing after setting out to explore the cave. Well, I guess Viggo Mortensen couldn't play him. That doesn't make sense. He's not Thai.
No, he must be one of the rescuers.
He must be one of the rescuers.
Oh, maybe he's Elon Musk in this.
I know. That didn't even get covered in what... Here's the thing. This is extremely detailed, and I didn't put everything in. but it's very fascinating. So you can go and read more, but I, you know, anyway. The team was stranded in the tunnels by sudden and continuous rainfall after they had entered the cave. Now, again, they entered June 23rd. The rainy season is supposed to be from July to November. So they were following the order.
The right rules.
Right. They had to leave some food supplies behind when fleeing the rising water. Around 7 p.m., head coach Naparat Kanthawang checked his phone. So he wasn't with them. He's their head coach.
He was like, where are they?
What happened was he checked his phone and he found about 20 missed calls from parents worried that their children had not come home after the game.
Yeah.
Naparat dialed assistant coach Kanthawang and a number of the boys in quick succession without success. Eventually, he reached Songpon Kanthawang.
You're doing a really good job on these names.
I don't know.
Really good.
A 13-year-old member of the team who mentioned he was picked up after practice and that the rest of the boys had gone exploring in the Tham Luang caves. One kid was like, yeah, they went to the caves. The coach raced up to the caves, finding abandoned bicycles and bags near the entrance with water seeping out of the muddy pathway.
Oh, boy.
He alerted authorities to the missing group after seeing their unclaimed belongings. British caver Vern Unsworth was scheduled to make a solo adventure the next day when he received a call about the missing boys. He advised the Thai government to request assistance from the British Cave Rescue Council. On June 25th, so now we're 2 days later, Thai Navy SEALs divers arrived and began searching the cave. A Thai Navy SEAL said the water was so murky that even with lights, they could not see where they were going underwater. After continuous rain, which further flooded the entrance, the search had to be periodically interrupted. On 27th of June, so this is now 4 days later, three cave divers arrived. This is the British Cave Rescue Council. On June 28th, the next day, a United States Air Force team from the 320th Special Tactics Squadron, the 31st Rescue Squadron, and the 353rd Special Operations Group joined them. By the 29th of June, an Australian Federal Police team of Specialist Response Group divers had arrived. And on Sunday, a Chinese divers from Beijing Peaceland finished. Okay. The search had to be suspended due to the weather. As rainfall increased the flow of water in the cave where the divers were... So not only are they trapped, it's still raining.
Yes.
They can't get to them. Increased the flow of water in the cave where the divers were battling strong currents and poor visibility. See, I was picturing it as just like high water. I wasn't even realizing like, oh, there are currents. Like the water's moving.
Yeah, it's a storm.
Yeah. The search resumed on July 2nd. So now we started on June 23rd. We are now on July 2nd.
So much time has passed.
After the weather improved, the 12 boys and the coach were discovered at approximately, 2200 means 12 means
10
p.m., right? Okay. A video of the encounter showing the boys and their interactions with the divers was posted on Facebook by the Thai Navy SEALs. In the video, the dazed boys are uncertain how long they've been trapped. Ask the divers what day it is. The Thai, U.S., Australian, and Chinese diving teams supported by the British divers began transporting diving bottles into the cave system and established an air supply storage area in Chamber 3. On July 3rd, the trapped group were joined by three Thai Navy SEALs who supported them until the rescue. The officials told reporters that rescuers were providing health checks and treatment and keeping the boys entertained, and that none of those trapped were in serious condition. So they're at them, they just got to get them back now.
Right.
It was believed that some of the group could not swim, complicating what would already be a difficult rescue.
Oh gosh.
they were going to do this thing like they had the side training where they like had boys in a swimming pool with like obstacles around it so they could try to get the kids out, but then they realized some of them couldn't swim, so they had abandoned that. Like, they were practicing all this stuff.
This assistant coach, I hope he was fired.
No. We'll get to that. The army doctor discovered that they had attempted to dig their way out of the cave. The team members had used rock fragments to dig every day, creating a hole 5 meters deep.
Wow.
An estimated 10,000 people contributed to the rescue effort. And yes, I guess that does include Elon Musk. What did he sent some like advanced.
He had some idea. I can't remember. Yeah. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
No. I thought about it too. Including more than 100 divers, representatives from 100 government agencies. Okay, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go on to all that. On the morning of July 8th, remember the start of June 23rd, officials instructed the media and all non-essential personnel around the cave entrance to clear the area as a rescue operation was imminent. due to the threat of monsoons later in the week, which were expected to flood the cave until October.
Oh, no.
So they had to move quick.
They had to get them out.
The boys were dressed in a wetsuit, buoyancy jacket, harness, and a positive pressure full face mask. A cylinder with 80% oxygen was clipped to their front, a handle attached to their back, and they were tethered to a diver. So they're, like, connected to a professional diver in case they were lost in the poor visibility. The rescue divers described them as a package. Harrison, okay. They were administered the anesthetic ketamine to the before the journey, rendering them unconscious.
No way.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I know, to prevent them from panicking on the journey and risking, you should do this for you when you get on an airplane.
No way.
And risking the lives of their rescuers. They were also given the anti-anxiety drug Xanax and the drug atropine
to
steady their hearts.
That's a lot of stuff, yeah.
I know. Oh, this is interesting. To steady their hearts and reduce saliva production to prevent choking.
Wow.
Because if they're knocked out.
Yeah.
After a short dive to a dry section, the divers and boys were met by three divers, and the boys' dive gear was removed. The boys were then transported on a drag stretcher over 200 meters of rocks and sandhills. They were assessed, and their gear was taken off. Sorry.
I mean, they could have taken out their appendix.
They could have gotten a lot of surgery
done
while
they
were in there.
They could have done their molars.
Yeah.
You know, just might as well get some stuff taken care of.
Okay, the boys arrived in 45-minute intervals. The divers knew the boys were breathing from their exhaust bubbles, which they could see and feel. On July 10th, the last four boys and their coach were rescued from the cave. Experience helped streamline the rescue procedure, so the total time to extract a boy was reduced from 3 hours on the first day to just over 2 hours on the final day. I'm almost done. Okay, now this is something I wanted to tell you. First of all, to address your thing earlier about the coach being fired.
Yeah.
They said that he was amazing in doing and keeping the boys calm.
Yeah.
Like, he was really fantastic with them, and that they asked several of the parents, do you want to sue or, you know, press charges? And all of them were like, no way. Like, he kept our boys alive. He kept them safe.
Yeah.
Like, they went, it wasn't like they went into the cave during the monsoon season.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
just, it came early that year. And I think that in America, that wouldn't have happened. I'm just saying, may have had some litigious parents.
We love to sue. We love a good
suit. So this is the very positive part of the story. The assistant coach and three of the boys had no nationality. Nuparit Kamfa Vong, the founder of the Wild Boars team, explained that they are from tribes in an area that extends across Thailand, Myanmar, Laos, and China. The region has no clear borders and people are not assigned passports. Their statelessness deprived them of basic benefits and rights, including the possibility to leave the Chiang Rai province. To get nationality is the biggest hope for the boys. In the past, these boys have had problems traveling to play matches outside of Chiang Rai because of their nationless status. Following the team's rescue, Thai officials promised to provide the three boys and the coach with legal assistance in obtaining Thai citizenship, a process which they said could take up to 6 months. On September 26th, this is not 6 months, this is just on September 26th, the boys and the coach were granted Thai citizenship.
Oh, I love that.
So that is very, very cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do want to watch 13 Lives, and I'm sure it has. I mean, there was so much I couldn't include everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just remarkable.
What a harrowing story.
Very harrowing.
Man.
There's a CNN documentary about this, too, and they've got, like, footage of the boys in the cave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Going through the cave.
That might be actually more interesting.
It's horrific. Just yeah. seeing them go through these little tunnels in the caves.
You mean when they're being rescued, there's mm-hmm. footage of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll look that up and link it because that sounds really interesting.
It's really good.
Thank you for that great story.
Well, you're so welcome. And we will be right back with our guests.
Yay.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Welcome back to How to Survive with Danielle and Christine. Danielle.
Christine.
You know what I want to know?
Yes.
How, in fact, was your break?
My break was fine. It was, as usual, filled with unfilling my bladder.
Oh my gosh. Details, yes. Please.
There's not much more to say. It is just, I never not have to go to the bathroom. It's just, you know, it's just life.
That is exciting.
What did you do?
For the updates. I went on my phone and checked to see if anything exciting had happened in the world.
If your son had bitten your daughter at school.
Yeah, if anything terrible had happened. Terrible things keep happening. No bites
good.
To report.
Good, good,
but they're
good.
At school, so you know what? If they bite each other, it's not really my
problem.
It's
their problem.
It's actually, yeah, the school's
problem. It's the administration's problem.
So the first half of the episode,
yes,
we talked about being trapped in a cave.
Yes.
And now, what are we going to talk about, Danielle?
And now we're going to be talk about being trapped on the road.
Seeking the shelter.
Seeking shelter. With our very special guest, Stephen Kieran. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, you guys.
How Hello. Are you?
I'm quite well. How are you too?
Good.
We're Three. Really happy that you're
Do you
here.
Prefer Stephen or Steve?
Stephen is usually how I'm okay. known, but either way.
I fine. Like when people go by their whole name.
It's my mom. My mom always insisted it would be Stephen.
Stephen,
The Gaelic spelling, and yes.
No one was going to call you Stevie.
No, our neighbor tried, and my mom went after her.
In what way? How did she go after her?
She just told her, no, never, never again. And she threatened to throw her out of the apartment. Which was my mom's way.
I
Wait
love
a second,
that.
Just for calling you Stevie?
Yeah. Oh, it would take much less than that for my mom to throw people out of our apartment.
Which I think kind of leads into your story today. Is that correct?
Certainly true. Yeah, okay. There's components that weave seamlessly into the story. Yeah.
First of all, let me just explain that Stephen is a very, very talented and funny actor and improviser. I know firsthand. I have seen him live in an improvised show, which was hysterical. But you can also find him on the show Wayne on Amazon Prime. Does Wayne, does that refer to a city? Isn't there a city named Wayne?
It actually refers to a character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought I was being
Wayne
clever.
McCullough. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I wasn't. But apparently it's a cult hit.
Yes, it is. I have to admit. I am just part of that. But yeah.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's dig
in. Hitting the microphone. I've been told not to hit.
Just give it a... Right, left.
A brush, yes.
So let's dig into your story here.
Dig in, yes.
Okay, set us up. Okay. What's going on?
Well, this particular part of the story, and again, any part of my story, so to speak, has different branches, so
right.
serve as guardrails, as you will. But this particular part started with the divorce of my parents,
okay,
and which finally happened, and my father actually at this time was living off of Woodman Avenue,
yes,
which is just one exit away, the same exit that he drove off of the overpass and had a scar called
no.
The Night I Quit Drinking. That was Woodman Avenue. But Dad was now living in the office with a .22 pistol in the bottom drawer of the filing cabinet, sleeping.
Right.
On a cot next to the blueprint machine with under army blankets. Okay.
Okay. Blueprint machine. Was he an architect?
He was a civil engineer.
Okay.
My dad was a civil engineer. But by this time, he had been a veteran of two wars.
Jeez.
PTSD. My father had his army blankets and his pistol, and my dad was in his office just here off of Woodman.
Okay.
My mom, then we lost the house. We were living in Mission Viejo,
okay.
The California Promise.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I always have to ask because I want to get into your psychology.
Please.
How old were you and your siblings at this time?
I was 11.
Okay.
Sheila was 13, and then Lisa was 17, going on 18. Lisa had run away by this point. She had run away from home.
Okay.
So Lisa. She was up the street and at the Schroeder's.
She ran away but didn't get very far.
She didn't get very far, but she did also did not come home. And my dad tried to go and muscle the guy, which was my dad's way. And the guy, however, was a psychologist, so I think he kind of worked my dad. Took all of my dad's so-called strengths and sort of cauldroned them into a weakness and sent my dad home empty-handed.
But okay.
Sort of disoriented and angry and not sure
what just happened.
What just happened.
Yes.
So so my dad's in the office. My mom, we lost the house. My mom was dating a guy now named Frank, who was on disability. He had been in an explosion underground.
Oh, man. She did not go too far the original dad.
No, this was sort of the thing. And
was the explosion in a cave?
It was underground, sort of.
Okay.
It was for Southern California Edison, so it was down a manhole. So that's caves.
Thank you for tying into our theme.
Well, I was set up, however.
I tried.
Yeah. No, you did. That was good. A good assist. So we ended up then, Frank was also a comic diver in this.
Wait, a comic diver?
Fair. That's the proper response because I didn't know. It usually starts with a wait, comma. Wait. Back it up. He was a comic diver in the summer. He was did like clowning at pool parties.
What?
It's absolutely true.
Wait, this is a
I
thing.
Told you there's all there's
know,
the main we're never going to get to the main thing.
But that's okay
thing.
Because
this is the setup.
Okay, wait a second. It was so Frank's occupation was such that enough people had it that there's a name for it. Or did Frank just call himself a comic diver and he was the only one who went to public pools
Garen.
And
find out. No, I don't know. All I know at the time is that my mom said he's a comic diver.
With a cigarette.
And
you're really going to like him.
And you're going to like him. And actually, we did like him. Frank was... Hey, it was just Frank. He was like sort of like James Garner-esque. Like if he just said, fuck it, and just had let it all go.
Okay, got it.
This was Frank. And he loved my mom. And my mom... It was like crazy what was happening in our family at that time. And so we...
I have so many questions, but you're right. Okay.
So what happened is that my mom, for a time, moved us into the travel lodge. So we're moved into the travel lodge, and we were there just like a couple of days, and my mom said, you guys are going on a trip. So we're in the travel lodge. Right. My mom said, Lisa, or she referred to your sister. We were not allowed to use Lisa's name.
Because she'd run away.
She had run away, and my mother, this was like the ultimate betrayal. And we were only we were not allowed to use Lisa's name.
Your mom has a real thing about names.
My mother was the real deal. My mother had codes and things that they were... That was just straight up, straight Jersey City. There was an element of my mom that was just very Jersey City about a lot of things. So, sure enough, Lisa shows up like a day or two into the Travelodge experience and says, we're going on the road and I'll be here tomorrow morning. And we had to meet her outside. Mom wouldn't let her in.
Okay.
And she said, I'll be by tomorrow really early, like really, really early. And I remember that sunk in like, oh my God, you know, we're leaving really early. So very early the next morning, I got in the back of a car, which I don't have time to go into what the problem with the car was, but I got in the car. I told you, there's these crazy,
okay
different cave systems that
right.
go off the main.
All right.
So I get in the car, they're packing around me. We joke now that I was sort of my job was to keep the load from shifting in the back of this little tiny car. We go up to Van Nuys Boulevard. There was a place called Otto's Pink Pig. I have no idea if it's still there. It was still dark. It was the cocktail with your breakfast side of, and my dad met us there.
Okay.
So this is you and your sister and your mom.
Two sisters. No. Mom stayed at the travel lodge.
So wait. Oh, your sister was picking
Sheila
you up.
And Lisa and me.
So Lisa said, I'm taking
kids.
You two.
We're going on
but
a trip.
But did your mom know about this?
My mom knew enough about it to say, go to your father. He'll meet you. Go to your father and talk to your father up at Otto's Pink Pig.
Okay. Cigarette.
So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Cigarette. Hitting the mic.
Right.
Off we go. It's pre-dawn. We get there. It's still pre-dawn.
It's so at Otto's.
I don't know. At Otto's. And they're open, you know, because they never closed. And at one point of the conversation, I remember my dad takes out a wad of bills, and he passes it to Lisa. this is always really hard to tell for some reason emotionally, but he passed it to Lisa and he says, go to Jack. Now, my dad had a lot of brothers, all the Kieran brothers.
Okay.
So they were all grew up on a farm, South Dakota, Irish Catholics. They were just these, right. They all went to war together. They was just the Kieran brothers. But the king of the brothers was Jack.
Okay.
And Jack also had a side to him that would show up and need to stay for a couple of days, you know, while the lightning is flashing on one side of his face. Your Uncle Jack's going to be here for a couple of days. Don't answer the door. Don't answer the door for a couple of days. We're going to keep these straight shut. So we never knew what the hell was going on.
In fact,
I just talked to one of my brothers, and I said, who's also my cousin, my stepbrothers and cousins. That's another story.
Yes, I heard about that on Never Not Funny.
Right, because of Jimmy.
Which is the exact same story as Jimmy. Right.
So I asked.
My husband.
I said, what do you remember about Uncle Jack? And I remember Bob was like, I was like, yes. Okay, so that's right. So we go, next thing we know, Dad gives us the wad of money. Dad tells us, turn the radio up on the car, because that's what it's for. If you hear any problems with the car, just turn the radio up. He said, that's what literally the radio is for. You turn it up. That's why they put radios in cars.
Right.
If there's any problem with the car, don't call us or anything.
Put masking tape over the hazard lights that go on. Right.
Yes, whatever. Yes. Don't look at that thing. Don't look at the dashboard. So, right. Don't look at the dashboard.
Just pretend it's not happening.
In life, just don't look at the dashboard. Right. Just keep driving. And so we started out on this odyssey that we didn't know was going to take us for over a year, not totally on the road, but part of it. And we went up Highway 1, and I remember it hit Sheila, my middle sister, who's very stalwart, and Sheila's like Steady Freddy, and nothing really gets to her in any real way. She's in an emergency, you want Sheila, you know?
Okay.
And she's like the hub. And Sheila broke down that first night, and I remember she got sick to her stomach, and I asked Lisa, like, what's wrong with Sheila? She goes, she's homesick. And I said, but you don't get sick to your stomach. She goes, yeah, you do. Sometimes it makes you sick to your stomach. So that started this journey. And Lisa's only 18 years old.
Right.
And we're on this road up Highway 1, and we're trying to get to Port Angeles, Washington.
This is where Jack is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Near the border?
Yes, right.
Right across. Okay. So I'll just compress this part because I'm thinking, I don't know. It's just there's a lot. I remember Lisa had so much weighing on her. I remember we're in a payphone, it's pouring rain. Even though it's summer, early summer, because we're out of school, it's pouring rain. We're in San Francisco. We're in a phone booth, the three of us. It's fogged up in this phone booth. And Lisa has the yellow pages, and she's putting in dimes. And we're trying to get reservations and directions to a motel that we're going to stay at. And I start losing it. I'm like, what's going to happen to us? You know, I start losing this. And Lisa goes, just a minute. And
she clocks me
in the mouth. Oh, drops me. So that I, in my mind, I went... down to the bottom.
Has she ever hit you before?
Yeah, a little bit. But when I look back, every time I tell this part, Lisa will be listening to this going, oh my God, totally right call. That was the right call at the right time. And it was just snap out of it. Snap out of it.
Right.
It was at that time, we'll talk about this later, but right now, look, we got to, it was one of those, like, you're going to get us all killed.
So, am I to understand that at this point you got the idea this wasn't just a trip? Because you're worried for some reason.
I was starting to... We were so far away from home.
Uh-huh. And you're 11.
I'm 11 years old.
Neither of your parents are around.
And we had been through everything leading up to this.
Right.
Was gnarly.
Yeah. You know,
and violence and whatnot. So, So that was water, everyone, as opposed to a little ton of my flask. So yeah, this was exactly, that's a great question. Something was starting to dawn on us.
Yeah.
Lisa, however, at 18, she has a matriarchal energy. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Apparently she had to.
Lisa's a lioness. I tell her kids, in fact, I read the book to her kids recently.
Explain, you wrote a book about your life that
I
has
did,
not...
I did a one-man show first.
Right.
And it became such a behemoth. It was like over 2 hours. For the audience, it was too much. For me, it was just my stories. It was still a lot. But I thought, now this needs to be a book. I need to deep dive on this stuff, right?
So, yeah. And it will be published eventually, we're hoping.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because you have three readers right here ready ever since you talked about it on Never Not Funny, I was like, oh, I'm reading this book.
It's always amazing to me that I always it's the insane presumption when you're growing up that all families are this way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, all families, we think. I remember being in the backseat of our car, what led up to the divorce. It was about finding out my dad was a skate dancer and all this stuff later. What? But my mom.
Is that like a. My dad diving was a clown?
No, no. Well,
clown diver?
My mom loves show people, apparently. We found out later. But my dad was a competitive skate dancer in between. Why are you saying that's really funny? Why would you not laugh at that? That's insane.
It's just so crazy that's tossed out like a casual.
It's just
I'm telling you, yes. I can just refer to other stories as we blow by them.
Okay.
It's amazing.
But what I'm saying is my mother was dragging her foot like on the street outside of the car while my dad is speeding. and we're in the back seat and we're thinking, I remember looking at Sheila. This is back before the divorce thinking, but this is what families do. This is
normal.
Yeah. This is normal.
It's protective in a way.
It is.
I think when you're a kid.
I think that's the same way you blame yourself for the divorce. Right. Kids blame themselves because their gods can't be wrong.
I blame myself for my parents not getting divorced. I was like, I must be doing something. I mean, I'm literally asking them for it, so I don't know why they won't do it. Must be me.
Are you still?
No, I've given up at this point.
Okay.
They need each other at this point, so.
Okay, but there was a period. Okay.
The period called my childhood.
Called your childhood.
Called my entire childhood.
My entire childhood. Right. Okay, again, so we end up we ended up at a youth hostel in Canada. Just for one night, and
that's scary in and of itself.
I'm telling you, I was put on the men's side, and the girls were on the other side.
No, you were too little.
I was too little, and I remember I walked into what looked like a giant like hangar or gymnasium, and I was feeling along the walls to get to where I needed to go, and I got to a bunk, and I climbed up on the bunk, and I got on the top, and I leaned back, and on behind me, my tiny 11-year-old like little scapula was up against a sign that said, "No smoking."
Oh.
And I looked out, and all I saw were these like little orange lights that were like lighting up here and there. And that, for some reason, I thought, what else are they capable of?
If they're willing to break the one rule that's posted, what else are they doing?
Yeah.
I got down, I climbed down, I went out in the hallway, and I got sick. And hippies came.
Yeah.
Hippies. Because I knew what hippies looked like. I grew up in the 60s, and my sister Lisa was older. She had hippie friends and hippies. They came. It was a youth hostel. They got my sisters. And what my sisters did is they smuggled me into the girls' side.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they did. And they sort of wrapped me up, and they sort of let me go to sleep. Yeah.
They hid you.
They hid me. And when we got up, we go to dinner. And I remember dinner was like straight off of an Oliver Twist menu. it was like a bowl of hot water with a cabbage leaf in it. No lie. I mean, Oliver Twist probably had more than that.
He at least had gruel.
Yeah, at least he had gruel, some sort of substance. And I remember there was like a piece of rock bread that was on like a little plate. And Lisa clocked it. Lisa was like, I know. If you eat this, we'll go out for Cokes and candy bars.
Oh.
Yeah. And Lisa knew. So we ate dinner, and then we headed out. And again, it seems crazy. It was night. It was raining. We're in Canada. And we go into this little liquor store.
Okay.
And we get Cokes and candy bars. And back then, this should tell you, we all three of us got Cokes and candy bars, put them on the counter. And the total back then was $3.33.
Right.
And the man had an accent, and it was three. And for some reason, that hit us in that place where we were so vulnerable and so opened up that blasted something open for us. And we went outside, and we danced in the rain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like Drew Barrymore.
We were like Drew Barrymore, even though I don't know what that reference is.
Oh, you don't know
that?
No. Okay, quick aside.
Yeah.
Very crazy. Was an Instagram video 2 or 3 weeks ago where Drew Barrymore goes outside. She's filming herself being the most Drew Barrymore she's ever. You guys have seen this,
no,
right?
No, I haven't.
Okay, no. Garen has. And she's like,
have to love the rain. You have to. You have to take advantage of the opportunities. And, right? It's something like that. I'm not getting the dialogue
dance
right.
In the rain.
You have to dance in the rain when you can. And she's filming herself and she's like on the verge of tears out of ecstasy for yes. the rain. And you're like, I want to hate you, but goddamn it, you're Drew Barrymore and you are so committed to this world.
Do that. Yes.
Do that instead yes. of Coke at nine or right, whatever she right. did. This is what happens when you, you know, there's yes. one of two ways to go. Either you die at a young age or you're just so grateful for the rain. You have to look
oh
it
my
up.
God.
It's unbelievable.
I so wish you, I could have that much joy.
About anything,
yes.
right?
Anything. Yes.
Anything.
Yes.
Oh my God. So yes, very
okay,
much.
So you're
yes,
dancing in the rain.
And
with the Cokes and the chocolates.
With the Cokes and the chocolates and everything. And we realized we, not to make a big deal out of it, but that number now means something to the three of us.
Aww.
And there's so, three of you and it's 333.
Yeah,
oh, it's
I know.
Very sweet.
So it's something that still to this day, just be in the car, just when I pulled up, I said, hey, I'm here to do
Aww.
This. And they were like, we're here, we're with you.
Oh, I love that.
The guy didn't say, yeah. 333?
No, no? He could have, yeah, and we would have
been a different
we
experience.
Wouldn't be dancing in the right. rain with Drew Barrymore. Okay, so that happened. We ended up then going down and staying with Jack for like a...
Oh, okay. You found Jack.
Yeah, we did. And I worked construction at 11.
What?
Yeah, I was like an 11-year-old. I was on his construction crew. And.
But did you also juggle? Because I feel like there has to... In all these stories, there has to be some weird entertainment element with the job. No, okay.
There were hammers. And there
yes.
were, there was some... a lathe. I was working a lathe of balloons. And then I was like... So, yeah, I was making the best of a bad situation.
Okay, so it's still summer. You're not like...
Still summer. Okay. But then we... Then, okay, we're at Jack's. We were told we had to get back. So we get back and Mom has now moved out of the... Travelodge, mm-hmm. and she's moved us. Mind you, back then, Mission Viejo was basically just like a frontier outpost between L.A. and San Diego.
Okay.
There was nothing out there in the 60s, early 70s. It's just sitting there. But Mom had moved us out to some condos that were way out
okay.
at the edge. There was a lion preserve, literally.
Oh, my God.
Known as Lion Country Safari.
Oh,
was that like Tippi Hedren's?
No. That's her own vibe.
Her
no,
deal.
No, I know
okay.
her thing, but this was actually a sort of a theme park, but they also did, they had, it was like a rock, you could drive through it,
uh-huh.
like the San Diego Wild Animal
yeah.
Park,
okay.
But they also, it was a place to preserve lions.
So, Stephen, I grew up in Los Angeles. I remember commercials for Lion Country Safari, but
remember,
I never knew what it was. I didn't know it was...
Then crazy
okay.
shit, like the elephant got loose, running toward the 405. They're shooting it like, and they get it just before it is moving toward the on-ramp, and a monkey like tore a calf off of a trainer. I mean, horrifying.
Oh my God.
I even list them in quick succession. I go through home of the
okay.
So we're now way out there. What we joked, we're now on the menu. We're on the menu.
Yes,
yes, yeah. So we're way out there, but we get there and we see that the place is a total disaster. Like my mom's stuff and Frank is there, and then my mom lasts maybe 2 to 3 weeks when we got home, and then Mom lost it. And she ran off first to
what?
Texas. Yeah, she did. She
with
had a
Frank,
break.
Or she left Frank in charge of you guys.
Frank couldn't handle us,
so he
said, "No, your dad's going to take care of you." Dad couldn't handle us. So what happened is, Mom had a breakdown. She first went to Texas to be with her friend Gloria, and then.
Love the sign for Gloria.
Mm-hmm. Gloria is smoking cigarettes.
Gloria, Russians and Gloria.
Yes.
You know, so Gloria took care of my mom for a while, and then my mom went to UCLA for treatment. She was
there on
the flight deck. Okay.
On the flight deck.
Yeah.
That's what we call treatment?
That's what we call that level of the hospital.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And so
the lifeboat of all lifeboats now pulls in, which is Sheila's best friend was Lisa, and Lisa's mom, she said, move in,
Okay.
The twins, Valerie and Vanessa, my age.
Okay.
And we moved in now, and I slept on their couch in the living room for the better part of a year.
Okay.
And is this back in L.A.?
Mission Viejo.
Still in Mission Viejo.
Yeah, okay. So you went to school.
Yes. So okay. We would stay in school, which was Dad's big argument. I can't put them up in an apartment here. And Dad was working around the clock, which is what my dad did. 16-hour days is what my dad put in. He was just a maniac trying to make things okay by working.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Okay. So, which he admitted on his deathbed, bad call, you know. So, literally, he called me in close and said that. So now...
Remember that time I abandoned you? Whoops.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. Oh. And then we told him what he was thinking in a good way. Like, you know what you were thinking, Dad? You were thinking this. So my dad was...
Yeah.
We always said about my dad, two wars, one divorce, no therapy.
Right. Okay.
So my dad, my parents were rock stars to me.
Right. Okay.
And because of where they came from, they did a terrible job.
Yeah.
But compared to where they came from, they did an amazing
job. It's an improvement, right.
Yeah.
And there's stuff I won't tell you now, but it'll be in the big story.
This book better come out quick. I want to read it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, again, I don't know if I'm going over time right now. You'll let me know,
of course. It's okay. I mean, we may have to edit, but only because we try to keep it. But this is too interesting, so.
Okay. So, I mean, this is where we were there for over a year, and then my mom gets out of treatment, and now we're going to give it a shot.
Okay.
My mom moved back, and my mom was working in a vitamin factory, and she's taking people in and renting rooms of our condo. And then there's a model who moves into my bedroom.
Female model?
Yeah, a Playboy centerfold moves into, while she's shooting her pictorial.
What?
Moves in, and I am 15 years old.
Holy moly.
This is a whole section of the book that I just do the deep dive of what happened. And my mom said, yeah, we'll put him in a mummy bag under the stairs.
Oh.
And we'll put her in Steven's room because her husband was roughing her up and was leaving bruises. And my mom's friend Sandy, who was also from back east, so Sandy was like my mom's best friend, and they were sort of in cahoots. My mom was a hustler.
Okay.
My mom hustled, and she got back on her feet, but there were people coming by, and there was envelopes, and we don't know. And a guy came in once, and he said, is your mom here? And I said, no. And then he pushed by me, and he took some pieces of furniture.
Oh, my God.
Left, like, out of payment. There were other times we were told not to open the door. We hid in a closet for a while. You know, my mom had borrowed money from the Perry brothers, which not good.
You can't borrow money from the Perry brothers.
We found that out.
Yeah.
What is the Perry brothers?
Exactly.
Is that a thing I'm supposed to know?
You're improvising really well.
Okay, she's yes-anding you.
Yes.
This sounds like...
I love how you were like, look, I'll tell you one thing I know.
You don't borrow from the Perry
this
brothers.
This just all sounds very familiar.
We come home one day and we hear this person, the centerfold, laughing. She loved Monopoly. And we walk in, and Sheila's like, what's his car doing here? And we walk in, and he's standing wearing only PE shorts circa 1978, which is not much PE short at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's got my barbell set, which had
I'm sorry. Who is this? Is this her?
Sheila's boyfriend.
Sheila's boyfriend.
Oh, boy.
Star running back.
Is with the Playboy
in
model.
In our dining room. Pumping iron in front of her,
in short shorts.
In micro shorts.
Right.
And like this. And Sheila, and I write it this way, I said, for reasons I don't understand and yet completely understand, said his name, ran over, jumped on his back. He then lost his balance and crushed my sister into a bookcase and falls forward. She falls onto him, all the books that my mother was reading, like at the time, like Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Exodus are falling now onto my sister, and this the centerfold. She's laughing like crazy, and that's when I told my mom.
Uh-huh.
My mom came home from the vitamin factory, and I told her what happened. And my mom went to her little hippie purse, the centerfold, and she had left with boyfriend, my sister's boyfriend.
Oh,
and,
oh no.
And, And my mom found the things, I guess, she was looking for. And when she came home...
What were the things she was looking for?
I think she found a little Coke.
In the
hippie purse.
This is the models?
Yes, the models.
Mm-hmm. Hippie purse, got it.
And my mom threw her out on her ass. Yeah. So my mom had like peak experiences of incredible parenting.
Right. She did the right thing in this case.
She took us out of when I was shamed by one of the nuns by having my absences read. My mom told the mother superior to go to hell and don't stop on the way, honey. And that was at St. Genevieve's just down the road.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
Oh my God.
Please be guardrails right now because I'm just blasting.
No. Okay, so you finally get into, and then did you stay in this condo for a while?
Stayed in the condo. My mom started to kind of, my mom got as stable as she could. She worked a side hustle at a donut shop. She's at the vitamin factory. Sheila goes to school, so it's just me and my mom.
Oof.
And yes, and then, but you know, we kind of worked it out. My mom didn't drive, and then she finally got her license, and her brother taught her, who had ataxia. He had it attacks the central nervous system.
Oh, yeah.
So he kept driving way past the time that it was legal.
And he's teaching her how to drive.
He taught her how to drive. And therefore,
so she's just jerking down the road.
No, that's exactly. My mom made a left turn in front of a dial-a-ride in the halting, lurching manner.
Oh no!
That her brother had taught her, and she is T-boned, demolishes my car.
Oh!
And I remember, my Jersey mom. My mom. I walk up to the back of the paramedics. Truck, and my mom's back there with oxygen on. She's got an unlit cigarette in this thing, and she has her lighter in this hand.
Oh no,
she's wearing oxygen.
Yeah.
No, she knew. She knew.
Okay.
And I walk up, and I remember mom went like this. She goes, "Don't kill me." Oxygen on. So I still drove that car. The right side touched my right hip of the car. There was plastic.
Oh,
it sounded like I was in a regatta, you know, the whole time. And my mom's in the back seat, and she's just telling me, "Turn left. We got to get cigarettes." And it was, we hung together until it was time for me to go to school. And then when I left, my surviving mom, she got a job at Albertsons at the deli bakery.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she got her license and she got a little car and she rented a room in a house. Now, it's interesting. I think I may have said this with Jimmy. I said, like, you know, unless you know where someone starts, you can't really judge them because they may have traveled twice as far as you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely.
I'm not always a saint. I don't always remember that. But when people look at my mother, they just think she's just this person driving a little car, working a deli bakery job, and she's now...
Right. But it was such a huge leap for her.
In the context. If you take it out of context, that's one thing. Drop things into context in this life, and it's a whole different story.
All right. I am extremely excited to hear more.
Yeah.
Your stories are fascinating.
They're so interesting.
And funny and heartbreaking.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on.
We'd love to read the book.
Okay. Really, really working on this.
Yes.
And Lisa is the driver. So when I tell Lisa that you said that to me, she is going to grind me in a good way. She's going to be like, "You do not." She goes, it's 333. She's going to hammer me.
Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Unbelievable. I just want to hear more. And we will be right back with, what did we learn today? Chris, are you ready to learn what we learned today?
I love learning.
You.
Me.
As a writer, appear in the book Periods, Period, which releases on March 7th and is available for pre-order now.
Today, right now, you can do it.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. If you're going to see Father John Misty, let those girls out. Kathy is an American Gagaday comic strip drawn by Kathy Geiswhite from 1976 to 2010. The comic follows Kathy, a woman who struggles through the four basic guilt groups of life: food, love, family, and work.
Oh
boy.
Kathy, ack, like
she
you
can
said.
Never find a bathing suit.
It is hard.
Beware of loose rocks. Yeah. I think that's what your son was trying to tell you.
What, to put one on?
To put a bra on because your rocks were loose. If you enter a cave through the back, it doesn't count. Wellies is a name for a pair of rain boots. short for Wellington boots, primarily used in the UK but recognized in other countries. Yeah, but recognize them.
I bet Princess Di had multi pairs.
Oh, she probably had so many wellies.
She looked so good in her wellies.
Yeah, she went stepping on the land trying not to set off the mines.
Oh, right. And she didn't.
She didn't.
Good for her.
Okay, here's what we've all been waiting for. A grotto.
Yes.
Is an internal organization of the National Speleological Society. They generally function as the local NSS chapter club. Many grottos, however, operate in areas outside of their local area, with many operating in several states. So this is grotto with a capital G. So this is a different thing.
It's not the thing I thought right. where it's the side of the mountain and you go drink wine.
And it's not the thing where the Playboy bunnies hang out.
But it might also be those things.
No, it is, but not with, yeah. But
not with a capital G.
Not with a capital G. You probably aren't qualified to cave dive. So just stop it. Stop thinking you are.
I will stop having so much confidence.
13 Lives is directed by Ron Howard and is available on Amazon Prime Video.
Oh, you kept saying Steven Spielberg.
Oh, I'm such a fucking asshole.
You know what we'll do? We'll go back and we'll take out Steven Spielberg and we'll put in Ron Howard.
I'm so annoyed because I genuinely believed it was Steven Spielberg. I'm so annoyed at myself.
Yeah, you should really be hard on yourself about this.
No, but you know why I'm annoyed? Because I'm now in the mind of the person listening to it and being so annoyed every time I say that.
I don't think everyone gets that annoyed at mistakes as you do.
Not everyone is as frosty as I am. I don't know if that's the right word. Elon Musk offered to build a mini sub to assist in the cave rescue. His offer was rejected, and he went on a Twitter rant against one of the rescuers that
resulted in
a defamation lawsuit. What an asshole.
He's the worst.
He's the worst.
I fucking hate him.
Him and his 12 children.
He's one of the worst billionaires out there. And
I mean, that is such a competitive race.
I know. They're all awful.
All right, that's what we've learned today, and I've learned because I thought it, I kept saying Steven Spielberg and it was Ron Howard. So
we're gonna go in and fill that in.
Yes,
it's fine. You can fix that in post.
We'll get Blank Patch to come in and go. Ron Howard.
we could get him to do that. He'll definitely do that. Everyone, thank you for listening.
Remember to pre-order Chris's book.
And follow us on social media at Pod How to Survive. We have merchandise on our website, soon to be on our social media sites as well, if it isn't already. I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it there if it's not there.
Yeah, we need to plug our merch again.
Our merch is so,
it's so fun.
Good.
Yeah. Maybe we'll add something soon.
You know what we should do? We should give our merch to big celebrities. And then they'll wear it on their socials.
Right. First, we have to meet some big celebrities, and then we'll do that.
Well, yeah, we're going to meet some this weekend, probably.
That's right.
When we go out hunting for big celebrities.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to the Olive Garden this weekend, no joke, so I'm sure I'll find some there.
Sly Stallone.
The Olive Garden?
I just imagine him going to Olive Garden.
That was so funny. You said that with such assurance, like he's a stakeholder in Olive Garden.
I mean, I imagine
he's
him.
He's Italian.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be? Well, I don't even know if he is Italian. But he...
Don't you think he loves the Olive Garden, though?
I know. I think, honestly, he's into, like, fine art. So I think he... I don't think he's seen the inside of an Olive Garden in a long time.
I still think he loves the Olive Garden. I'm guessing him as an Olive Garden. Olive Garden.
Maybe if he has to carb up or something for some reason.
Anyway.
Remember.
Always remember.
Remain calm.